City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, on Tuesday, August 28, 2018, at 7 p.m. Pledge of Allegiance this evening will be led by Assemblymember Julie Decker. The invocation to be given by Don McConaughey. Please remain standing for that.
I can't come in my chair. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, in these times of uncertainty, give to our community leaders the best information that they can get to help them in the decisions they must make. Give them a caring heart, a wise mind, that what they will be discussed here tonight will be the benefit of the residents of the City and Borough of Wrangell. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you.
We don't have any ceremonial matters this evening. Yeah. Roll call, please.
Assembly members Gilbert?
Here.
Howell?
Here.
Larrabee?
Here.
Decker?
Here.
Howell?
Here.
Krasunka? And Mayor Jack?
Here. Persons to be heard. No persons to be heard. Item 4, amendments to the agenda. Are there any amendments to the agenda?
Mr. Mayor, we'd like to ask the Assembly to move the executive session up in front of item 11A.
So before the public hearing.
Okay, that.
That way we can address
that. Anybody have a problem with it? Okay. Conflict of interest. Does anyone have conflict of interest on any item on the agenda? Consent agenda.
Move to approve the consent agenda as submitted.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Full vote, please.
Assembly members Howell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Howell?
Yes.
Larrabee?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Borough Manager's report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just have a verbal report tonight, so I'll go over that with you. And if you have any questions, please feel free to ask. And then as part of my report this evening, we'll be passing out a dam report that the Public Works, well, now the Capital Facilities Director has prepared, that she and Wayne worked on. We don't expect you to read it tonight. Please take it and read it. But the two of them will be giving a verbal report on what is currently going on with the upper reservoir, because you guys need to be aware of that and the work that's being done to ensure its stability. So with that, the library is proposing to change its hours on Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Currently, the library is open 1 to 5 and 7 to 9, and they're proposing to be open just 1 to 7. And so far we've heard actually quite a bit of positive feedback about those hour changes. And so they're proposing to start that on September 1st. We'd like the community to know, and just wanted to make sure that the Assembly didn't have any objection to that change in the hours for that facility. Our EDA grant for the water treatment system was passed over again during the August review. They asked for additional information, which I will say is the same information that has now been provided at least twice previously in different formats, in different ways, because different people have asked for it different times in different ways. And so it's becoming a bit disheartening and very frustrating. However, Shirley Kelly, the EDA representative, was on the phone with both Amber and Carol yesterday working through stuff. A third submittal of information was put forward, and EDA has moved the application forward to the next review period in September. So we are hopeful this time around, the third time will be the charm, but we will keep you posted on that. But it's unfortunately the lack of what seems to be attention to detail in the information that's being provided, and the request for information to come in several different manners depending upon who you are talking to, and is again, it's very frustrating. So we're working through the process. It's a $3 million grant, and we need this money to be able to afford the project. So we're doing everything we can, and I'd like to thank Carol and Amber very much for their efforts continuing to go through this. And like I said, we'll keep you posted. As you know, we have... Oh, I'm sorry. A question?
I was just curious, who's staff working with the ADA on that?
So Shirley Kelly is the Alaska representative, and then Amber, I can't remember the name of the Seattle rep.
Brian Parker in Seattle office.
Yeah. The next thing I wanted to mention is our federal lobbyist will be in town on September 4th and part of the 5th, and we'd like to ask the Assembly to have a work session with Seb O'Kelly while he's here, if you guys would be willing to do that. So that's next Wednesday.
I will be Tuesday. Out of town.
Is that next Tuesday?
Next Tuesday.
Yes, next Tuesday.
I will be out of town.
Okay. So... can the rest of you be available? Is a 5:30 work session okay? Okay, great. And before the end of this week, what I will do is I'll pull out the last report from our federal lobbyists, probably the last couple, and our federal priorities from last year, just as a means of refreshing ourselves with that information. I'll get it, either myself or Kim will get that emailed out to everybody so you can have that to review if you'd like before we meet with him. As you guys are aware, we have three open department head positions, a finance position, public works director, and the electric supervisor. Finance, we're still working through reviewing applications from the first round and trying to determine when we're going to set interviews. The public works and the electric supervisor positions closed approximately a week ago. We had 17 applicants, both from in town and out of town, for the public works director position, and we're going through the applications to weed those down to a group that we will interview. My guess is somewhere around five or so people. I'm just speaking off the top of my head right now. The electric supervisor position, we had seven applicants. The pool is quite a bit leaner. One of the things that can, this is the second time around that this has happened, is most of the people who are applying for the electric supervisor position have electrician experience, but what they don't have is electric generation or electric distribution experience. And so being an electrician doesn't really help in when you need experience in distribution and generation. So we have a couple of people we may be looking at doing an initial interview with to see if they're capable of filling the position, but I'm not sure what we're going to do at this point there. So we'll keep you posted. Shoemaker Bay Harbor project is getting ready to start the beginning of next month. Greg Meisner has advised me that about half of the boats from Shoemaker Bay have already been relocated, and the staff is continuing to work with the other vessel owners to relocate them so that the harbor is vacated. And I believe the basin gets turned over to the contractor on September 10th. Is that correct? Okay. And so that project will be starting very shortly. As you are aware, during our budget discussions, the Assembly put money in for an IT contractor, and actually there was discussion about trying to hire an IT person. I think we reported to you previously once that we were having a difficult time with the potential contractors getting them to fill our needs. They are just so busy. Their responsiveness to us is not what we need it to be. And after the most recent scare with a couple of other municipalities in Alaska, we really need to be beefing up what's going on and making sure that we're protected. So actually, quite by chance, I was having an IT issue one evening when I was on the phone with Dan Neumeister, and he suggested potentially that Search might be interested in contracting with us to do IT. And so I have met with the Search IT director, the overall Search IT director, and talked about this. And interestingly enough, the Search IT director came from a hospital recently in California, where the hospital was the IT provider to the local municipality. The municipality contracted with the hospital for that. So he is well aware of options like this and all of the different systems and things that municipalities have to run, from public safety to GIS to finance to everything. So we are working with Search to do an evaluation of that and what it might look like. And so we'll be reporting that information back to you guys. But we're looking at that as an alternative. And we'll come back to you with more information. As I mentioned, we'll be giving you a dam condition report here as soon as I'm done giving a couple of other updates. I think it's 2 weeks ago now, the U.S. Coastal buoy tender, the Anthony Petit was in, from Ketchikan was in, and they used our dock space, and they wanted to thank us very much for allowing them to use their space. And so they came in and brought us some coins from the vessel. And so I don't know if anybody's a collector of those or is interested. We have a couple of those that we'd be happy to give to a member of the assembly, or actually even the public, if somebody would like to have one of those. But I just wanted to recognize the harbor crew. They always take good care of the Coast Guard when they're here in town, and the Coast Guard was very quick to come in and thank us for our hospitality. I will be out of town for the holiday weekend. I'm heading back to Valdez to spend some time with my mom, and I'll be back on Tuesday. I will also be attending Southeast Conference the week of the 11th in Ketchikan. Assemblymember Decker will be attending as well, as will Carol Rushmore. So we will all three be there. I actually will be going a day early because SEPA has a meeting the day before Southeast Conference starts, so I'm going to take advantage and attend that as well. So I will be leaving town on the afternoon jet on Monday. I think that's the 11th. 10th. Ruben, our GIS specialist, has been in town this week and is working on updating our GIS mapping and our GIS software, and it sounds like things are progressing very well. He'll be in town through tomorrow assisting us with that. And the auditors were here toward the beginning, actually I think it was right about a couple of weeks ago. The auditors were here for their pre-audit work for 2 days, and Lee Burgess was here as well on the ground dealing with stuff with them, and they are going to be back early in September as well, and Mr. Burgess will be back in town to assist with that also. So I just wanted to let you know. And with that, unless you have any other questions, I'd like to ask Amber and Wayne to give an update on the dam, if that's okay, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, please.
Good evening. I'm Amber Alhadad, Public Works Director, Capital Facilities Director. Getting used to this still. I'm here to give you a brief overview of what's in the handout, which I don't know if you've received or not. But it is an upper dam condition report. And what prompted this was a week ago today, we noticed some, what appeared to be some new and or additional seepage at the toe of the dam on the east end, one end of it. Always cause for concern, so we immediately took measures to start taking some measures in some of the boreholes that we have in the dam, as well as building some monitoring weirs. I had some pictures of some of that in here, and it looks like one or two of them got missed, so I apologize. I can forward those to Lisa or Kim, and they can pass those along if you want to see those. So that was Tuesday. We had the weirs constructed on Wednesday, and through the monitoring of the water that's in the boreholes, their monitoring holes, we measured two of them dry, and the third one we measured at a level of 16. Let me describe how that borehole works. It's been drilled to 22 feet below the crest of the dam, which is the top level of the dam, And through some investigation that Wayne and Jeff did with the plans, we've come to the conclusion that that boring has occurred below the dam level. So it's at 22 feet below the dam, the top of the dam. We're measuring water at the 16-foot level. The dam, the bottom of the dam, is at 12 feet. So this water that we're measuring appears to be sitting below the dam, the bottom of the dam level. So these are the things that we've investigated so far. So we have a feeling that that borehole is not providing any information to us good related to the seepage, unless for some reason, but it's higher than that, so it just doesn't make any sense. So we're monitoring those boring holes just to make sure they don't change. The other two have remained dry. This one's remaining at 16 feet. Even with the reservoir coming up, Wayne, that didn't change much today. Hasn't changed. So we reached out to the dam safety engineer in Juneau and let them know what's going on here, asked them if they had any guidance for us, recommendations. They are familiar with our dam. They get the reports and they understand the condition, which there are quite a few deficiencies that have been there for years and years, and we've never addressed them. So they have asked us to fill out an application for modification because I've told them that we'll be moving forward to make some corrections as soon as possible. And they will work with us through that process. They said we will need to be involved in all of that just to review and be your sounding machine and provide some engineering guidance with your engineer, whoever you select. So we have them on board. I tried to call them again this afternoon after we found a new area of seepage that we hadn't noticed before in the same area or similar area. I've left a message and hope to hear from them tomorrow and just discuss this again. The reservoir has come up, so I don't know if that has anything to do with some additional seepage or if we've got a larger issue that we need to obviously continue to pursue. We did some other investigations. We also know that the two pipes that release the water from the reservoir into the open spillway, that's how it travels down to the lower reservoir, those pipes are compromised. We operated those valves in a couple different fashions to determine if their operation at full open or close made a difference with the seepage that we saw. It did not appear to affect this new seepage that we were seeing on the east end of the dam. It did, however, affect a weir that's been in place right next to the pipes. Once the 10-inch pipe was, the valve was open in the 10-inch pipe, considerable amount of water started coming out of that weir. So to date, we have shut both of those valves off, so there's no water leaving the reservoir on purpose except for what's leaking through the valves. So there is water coming through the pipe, but we've got some leaky valves in there that need to be addressed. Beyond that, our concern obviously is for the stability of the dam. So we reached out to Shannon and Wilson, who's been doing our dam inspections for the last 20 years or better. And I found out that they had actually done a dam stability inspection and report, an analysis back in, sorry, I'm losing my dates. 1993, they did a full assessment of the dam stability. At that time, there was seepage addressed. Their final assessment, it was months long of work. They did boreholes and drilling, soil sample testing, and lots of engineering calculations. The result was that our dams at the time were stable under steady seepage and steady seepage and static loading. For breaching. But the problem that we would have is seismic loading is a problem. If we were to have a sizable earthquake that affected those dams, we would likely see a failure in those dams. So this was 1993. To my knowledge, nothing's been done since then. The majority of the deficiencies that they noted at that time are still in place. So Shannon and Wilson is pulling the report. They're going to go back to it and make some recommendations. We'll get together with the engineering state engineer, once they have the ability to pull that and review it, said it would take them a little bit of time to do that, and just start discussing it and come up with some solutions on how do we attack it. To do a full stability analysis, it will take several months. That's all I've learned to date. So we'll get some more information when we're able to sit down with them and discuss this further.
Amber, if I could jump in here. So when you, in my mind, when I hear seepage and this is new and we have concerns, my mind is, let's get an engineer down here immediately and let's get an evaluation to tell us that things are okay or they're not okay, and then we need to make a decision immediately. And so I actually reached out to an engineer that I have worked with quite a bit on water issues from HDR, and he got on the phone with Amber and I and said, frankly, no engineer is going to give you that sort of an answer. It just doesn't happen that way. There's too much risk involved in providing you with a fail or no fail scenario for your infrastructure. And the only way that you're going to get the detailed information that you need is to have a geotechnical engineer do what Shannon and Wilson has done previously and can do. And in fact, this engineer at HDR that we spent, I don't know, about an hour on the phone with, and his hydrologist said, Shannon and Wilson are the geotechnical engineers that we work with. They are the ones that if you were to hire us, we would subcontract with them to get this work done. So if you've got Shannon and Wilson in your pocket already as engineers who've previously done work and who are working on your dam tap information, you need to just stick with them and have Shannon and Wilson do your work. That was what they told us. So we asked if it would be helpful to bring a hydrologist down immediately to look at the water and make some determinations about where the flow was coming from. And the hydrologist basically said, after Amber described everything that the staff is doing up there, he said, what you guys are doing is what you need to be. You need to be watching, you need to be observing, keeping an eye on things and reporting, and you need to get your geotech folks working on things to start the assessment, the updated assessment, as soon as you can. So I just wanted to let you know, we're not approaching this as if it's, oh, we've got months and months of time and sort of laissez-faire. We went after this and said, what do we need to do to get an answer now? And it's just not possible to get an answer now. So I just wanted to let you know that.
Mm-hmm. And I will say, I haven't heard this exactly from an engineer yet, but I've been doing a lot of reading about dams from some of the national dam safety publications. And rock fill and embankments, you know, you will typically see it's normal to have some seepage, right? So what they recommend is that you just continue to monitor your seepage and you make sure that nothing, you know, is changing substantially. So we're doing that. It was concerning to find a new seepage location today. There's a picture in here that shows the new, not the new seepage, it was year two, right, with the hole. So with the rock embankment, if you start to see piping, that's what the term that they use when the water starts creating channels large enough that you're going to start to see some failure. That material, you'll start to see it, what I'm reading is you'll start to see it from the exterior of the dam, and it channels its way back into the reservoir. So one of the holes, one of the seepage areas that we have that was new last week, there is a fist-sized hole where we're seeing the bubbling. So that is concerning too. And there's a picture in here in my hand with aggregate material. I tried not to pull too much out, but that just put my hand in, and that's what came out. So this is the material the dam is made out of. And in Shannon and Wilson's stability report, from 1993, they confirmed that it was local crushed borrow and shale material that was used. I don't know if that's what was spec'd, but this is what's in the exterior of the dam. And that night, just to give you a little bit of history about the dam, you know, the log cribbing dam was built in the very early 1900s. I want to say 1906 was one of the earlier drawings that I've seen. I think there were a couple of repairs to it along the way, but a major repair happened in 1968 where we came in and So the east end is where we're seeing the seepage. The west end currently is where our spillway is. The original spillway used to be on the east end. And when in 68, when they built that dam up higher and filled the embankment on either side, they got rid of that spillway, created the new spillway where it is currently. That area where the old spillway is, it's a lot shallower also than the rest of the dam, which is wider. And that's where a lot of that's where all the seepage is coming from, just to give you an idea of what it looks like up there. Beyond that, so there's two issues going on right now. We've got the seepage concern, and then we've got the compromised pipes concern. We have those off now, and because of the rain, the lower reservoir is staying moderately full. It's about a half foot low right now.
It should be overflowing by morning.
So at this point, we don't have any concern by having those valves closed and not releasing water from the upper to keep the lower full. We may get to that point, so we need to move swiftly to do something that is easily fixable, and that is to replace or repair those pipes. So we have an engineer that we've been working with to do the camera work. We need to bring a camera in. We've got a push camera that we own for the sewer department. It's not really suitable to do this type of work. They've got some specialized pipe inspection cameras, and we're trying to locate a company who has the availability to come in as soon as possible and inspect those pipes for us. And then this engineer, his name is George Vernon, he's from Mill Creek Technologies Management.